They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I had commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? I'm going to stop there. How successful was their hiding from the presence of God? It wasn't very successful, was it? And yet they did it anyway. They hid themselves from the presence of God. There's a specific reason why that happened. And God knew it just like that. It wasn't a surprise. When they were hiding, God immediately knew, and obviously he knows anyway, and he knows all things. There's nothing hid from God's eye. But he knew immediately. Did you eat of that tree? The one I commanded you not to eat of? And did you ever notice that that was a yes and no question? And did you notice that Adam didn't just answer it yes and no, just like we don't? Some of those yes and no questions that we should answer yes and no. Well, so and so and so and so, if you know, and we just go on. And first thing we know, we're blaming it all on everybody else. And it was a yes and no answer. Adam, did you eat of that tree? Yes. But you know how we do. And we hide. But it was that disobedience that caused them, that ruined Adam and Eve's living in his presence. If you read on through there, we have the angel driving them out of the garden because of their sin, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in that state of fallen mankind. Sin will cause us to hide from the presence of God. Not that they really could hide, but their fellowship with God was broken. That living in his presence was broken. There's another example in chapter 4. We have Cain and Abel, and they offered a sacrifice unto God. We know Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was not before God. And Cain was displeased that his offering to God wasn't accepted, but that his brother Abel's was. And, you know, God had a conversation with Cain there about his offering being rejected. In verse 6 and 7, it says, And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost well, if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. Believe that. And later, he was talking with Abel out in the field, and anger, wrath overtook him, and he slew his brother. He became the first murderer who took the life of another. And then it says in Genesis 4, verse 16, And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east side of Eden. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Sin has a way of keeping us from living in the presence of the Lord. Another example in the line of disobedience and how it keeps us from living in the presence of the Lord is in Jonah. We know the story of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of the Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah, he rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Again, it was a direct act of disobedience on Jonah's part. He chose to depart from the presence of the Lord. It was Jonah's unwilling heart that said, "I'm not going to Nineveh." I don't know what all he was thinking. Maybe I would have shrunk away from it too. Those wicked people over there, they're just going to take my life. Or they're going to do this or that. Or they won't hear me anyway. I don't know what all was going through Jonah's mind, but there was an unwilling heart for whatever reason. Again, his disobedience, and he went from the presence of the Lord. But there's another example I'd like to point out too. This was another man who had sinned greatly before God. It was King David. And we know the story how he had killed Uriah so that he could marry Bathsheba. And it seemed like he felt like he was justified in doing so. It doesn't seem like even when Nathan the prophet came and gave him that little story about the one man who had a lot of sheep and the other man who had only but one, and a stranger came, and we know the story how it says that he asked for that one lamb. He asked for that one sheep from, instead of taking from his own flock, he asked for that one from that man who only had one. And David was very upset about that. So even then, his eyes were still very blinded, that he wasn't seeing how wicked this was before God. But Nathan pointed his finger, I believe, at him and said, "You are the man. You are the man." And suddenly it dawned on him what he had really done. And as a tribute to that of his repentance, Psalm 51, I thought you were going to read that, Josiah. Psalm 51, verse 10 and 11 says, well, we know the whole chapter was written in context of his sin here, in his murder and his taking something that was not his to have. But in Psalm 51, verse 10 and 11, I think this speaks very clearly of the heart that God was looking for. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." It seemed like David understood something about sin and how it separates us from the presence of God. And he was pleading to God to have mercy upon him at the beginning of the chapter. And here he cries out to God, and he was just asking God, "Lord, make a clean heart in me. Renew a right spirit and cast me not away from thy presence." The need for the presence of God in his life was very real. I believe if we want to live in the presence of God, that's the kind of heart that God can commune with. Like it says just a little further down, a broken and a contrite heart, a repentant heart, is where God can dwell and can live. And we can have that fellowship, that presence of God in our own lives. So sin will block us. Sin will block us. Disobedience to God will block us from living in his presence. But it doesn't need to be and continue to be that way. I'd like to move on to the next point here, is how important is the presence of God to us? You know, God told Moses to go and to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God, we know the story. I'm not going to go into all the details of the story of how Moses brought them out of the land of Egypt. It was after the 10 plagues and so forth had taken quite a toll on Egypt. But God, there was something significant that happened when Moses brought the children of Israel out. And that was that God said, I will be a pillar of a cloud leading the way by day and a pillar of fire by night. That must have been quite a sight. But that was the presence of the living God among his people. And God was leading those children of Israel out of their bondage of sin and was leading them to the promised land. A visible sign of God's presence for his people. Wouldn't you just love to have such a visible sign for us to follow every day? Excuse me. Wouldn't that be a blessing? It sure would, wouldn't it? We think it would anyway. It would be a blessing. Wow. But you know, it wasn't very long in that journey when the children of Israel were bowing themselves to a golden calf. They were bowing themselves to a golden calf. And what were they saying? Anyone? These are the gods that brought us out of Egypt. Wow. God had a conversation with Moses right after that. I'm going to turn there in Exodus 33. Read a little of that. In Exodus 33, verse 1 to 3, And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. This was right after the golden calf. Wouldn't that have been good enough? God said, I'll send an angel, Moses. I'll send an angel before you. You're going to be able to conquer the land. You're going to be able to drive out the enemy because the angel's going to be there. Wouldn't that have been good enough? I really like what Moses said. In verse 12, same chapter, And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that Thou goest with us, so shall we be separate, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now that is a phenomenal statement. And in the New Testament, that just explodes into a beautiful, beautiful picture of what God wants. Moses said, if thy presence doesn't go with us, don't take us there. I don't care about the angel. I want God's presence. Is that how we feel about God's presence with us? Or is an angel good enough for us? Is an angel good enough for us? Or do we want God's presence to go with us? One of the marked differences of a child of God is the presence of God with us. And Moses had it clear here. So shall we be separate, I and thy people, from all the earth that are upon the face, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. What was he saying? If you go with us, God, we're going to be a separate people. If you go with us, we're not going to be like the other people. And that's a marked difference between the child of God and those who are not the child of God. The marked difference is that the presence of God is with them. Think about that in our everyday life, living in his presence. I wonder if we grasp the magnitude and the power of that. Would to God that people would see that we've been with Jesus. Would to God that people would understand that the way we respond in life situations is not the same that everyone else does. And why isn't it the same? It's because there's a power of God living in us. We're living in the presence of God's, and that presence of God gives us the strength and the power to overcome those natural tendencies that we have. How important is the presence of God to us? It's a marked difference if we're living in the presence of God or not. Those who are not living in the presence of God walk in sin. And they don't have any strength to overcome. They don't have any strength to overcome their sin and their natural tendencies. In the New Testament, not only is the presence of God, quote, among his people, like it was for the children of Israel, but he says, I'm going to dwell in them. Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians 6, latter part of verse 16. Ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We know that today the presence of God in our life happens. He's in us by his Spirit. His Spirit he puts within every one of his children. God's Spirit. Jesus told his disciples as he was preparing them for when he would leave them. In John 14, verse 16 to 17, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. That's living in the presence, in his presence, is when the Spirit of God dwells within the child of God. We live in his presence. Now think about this with me. If you want to live in his presence and his Spirit, God's Spirit is within us. these verses here that I'm just about to read here become very, very important about living in His presence. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, He says, "Quench not the Spirit." Just simple words, quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." I wonder how that looks. How does that look in our everyday life? To not quench God's Spirit, to not grieve His Spirit. What does it mean? What does it look like? I think many of us who have walked with God for some time, we understand at least in part what some of those things mean, because we've gotten enough spankings when we didn't listen. Right? We've gotten enough spankings when we didn't listen. But God does speak to us by His Spirit. And if we want to live in His presence, we're going to need to heed the voice of the Spirit of God in our lives. Do we listen for that voice? How many times have we just, maybe we were saying something, and suddenly we get this little check in our spirit, and we know it's this voice of God saying, "Don't go any further." But we feel kind of like we've already went too far, and we just keep right on going. And what happens? Suddenly, there's something that feels amiss between our relationship, just like it did for Adam and Eve. And sometimes we want to do the same thing they did. Blame everybody else and go hide. But God wants us to come back into His presence in repentance and brokenness. You know, it's a good exercise. The voice of God through the Spirit of God, how do you find that? Do you find that the Spirit of God comes to you in a shouting, powerful, over-dominant way? Do you find that? That's how the Spirit of God comes? I haven't found it that way. Maybe you have, but I haven't found it that way. But rather, it's a still, small voice. Sometimes it just feels like a little knocking going on. You can hardly hear it, but it's there. It's there. And you know, the world that we live in is such a noisy world. If we don't quiet our hearts, still our hearts, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Quieting our heart before God. There's something about quieting our heart before God that His Spirit then can speak to us. Say, "Yeah, back there, do you remember what you said there at brothers' meeting?" You know, and sometimes those things hit us. Had we not stilled our hearts before God, we wouldn't hear and understand. We want to live in His presence. How important is that to us? I think it's wise for us to take times like that, to listen to the voice of God through His Spirit. "Lord, what are you trying to say to me?" Did you ever try to say something in a group of people? You tried to say something and nobody gets it. Nobody hears. How does that make you feel? It'll make you feel very good, right? It's like, you know, everybody else was talking, and they didn't even hear what I had to say. How do you think the voice of God in our life feels when we're too busy doing the talking and we don't take the time to listen to what He wants to say to us? Quench not the Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, after we've grieved or quenched his spirit long enough, there's something else that tends to happen. And I've been there. Some of you have been there. There's something else that tends to happen when we've been grieving the Spirit of God. And that is that that voice gets even dimmer than what it was to begin with. And it keeps getting dimmer and dimmer till maybe we can't even hear it anymore. That's a pretty dreadful place to be. There have been those, even in, I think, churches, who the presence of God was so grieved, the presence of God left, and nobody knew it left. Isn't that a dreadful place to be? I don't think any of us want to be there. I'm glad that God's Spirit is still moving among us, convicting us, drawing us, moving us towards Him, moving us to a holy life in more godliness, letting Him sanctify us. These are all things of living in His presence, and He'll do that for us. Let's keep our hearts open and sensitive to that still small voice. And there's something else that I think is good for us to understand about this still small voice. There are people who take this little phrase and they run away with things. The Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. This is the Spirit of God in my life saying this and that. But somehow it deviates from the Word of God. That's not the voice of God. That's not the voice of His Spirit. Let's get that clear. Let's make sure that when we do hear His voice, we will know. Because it lines up with the Word of God, and it points to Christ. It points to holiness and godliness in our lives. Another thing that the Spirit of God does, and why it's so important for us to be living in the presence, in His presence, and that is that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's Romans 8. His Spirit bears witness with ours that we are the children of God. It sets us apart. It sets God's people apart when we're filled with His Spirit. Oh, that people in this world could see the difference. Did you get that? That people in this world, those who we rub shoulders with, could see the difference. There is a difference. Those who are filled with the Spirit of God, there's a difference. And people should recognize that in our lives. Is it so with us? Number three, living in His presence brings us victory over our enemies, over sin. In Psalm 9, verse 1 to 3, says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at Thy presence. Whenever Israel was living in the presence of God, when their heart was turned to God, they overcame their enemies. When their faith and trust was in God, God could move amongst them. They were living in His presence and God fought for them. There were many battles that God fought very distinctly. One time He just thundered and whew, the enemy dissipated. One time He sent hornets after them. Another time, all they had to do was sing and praise, and their enemies left at the presence of God. See, God does inhabit the praises of His people. And when we sing, when we rejoice in the middle of our temptation, God gets glory, and He comes, and He gives us strength to overcome. Right in the midst of it. Also, when they lived in obedience, we know that when the children of Israel lived in obedience to God's word, to the things that God had given them instruction in, and when God was precious to them, they conquered. They went forth. They won great victories. I think about Gideon. Gideon and the Midianites. Wasn't that a beautiful picture of the presence of God coming and just shook up those Midianites? They were like grasshoppers, Bible says, in number. But it was just Gideon and 300 men. But it was the presence of the living God with them that just drove out the enemy. Oh, we need the presence of the living God with us to drive out our enemies. Think about David when he was still a shepherd boy and this big Philistine Goliath was threatening the children of God. And they were all shrinking back. Nobody wanted to go fight him. And it wasn't that little David was that big and powerful. In fact, he couldn't even wear Saul's armor and get, you know, it was just too big. It was too much. He shed it. He put it off. And he took what he was familiar with. But he took the living God with him. And he faced the Goliath with the living God. And what happened? That stone took one path right into that Goliath's forehead. And he was slain. All before all of Israel. How about the Goliaths in our life? How about bringing the presence of God into the Goliath in our life? Those things that we have a great trouble overcoming. Bringing the presence of God there. Takes faith, doesn't it? But there's also something else. We read it through the Old Testament, and I know you've read it. But time and time again, the children of Israel would turn their back on the true and living God and begin to serve the gods of the land, the gods that were around them. They started practicing the things. They would do the groves. They had these other places of worship. And there was even a time when they had the groves and were worshiping and sacrificing there, but then they would go to the temple too, and they would worship to the true God, and they were kind of trying to mix the two together. And I think some of Christianity today is trying to do some of that. And we're becoming like the world. We're becoming like the society around us. That pressure pushes in on us. But we also know what happens. Their enemies would overtake them. The presence of God was not there with them. So much so that the one time when Eli was the judge and his sons were lying with the women that were coming, you know, to offer sacrifice, it was an abominable wickedness that was going on. And there was war. The Philistines came up against Israel again. And they were losing the battle. Just like we do when we are not living in His presence. They were losing the battle. And what did they do? They came back and they got the ark. The ark being a symbol of the presence of God with us. So they took the ark to battle. But God wasn't in it. They stole the ark. Well, I say God wasn't in it. God followed that thing. And they sure had a lot of trouble, the Philistines did, till they returned that ark of God. They had a lot of trouble because God was there fighting against them. But we know it's not just in some symbol of Christianity. We need the living presence of God with us to overcome our enemies. Listen to this in Isaiah 64, verse 1 to 4. He says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, and to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." The mountains even flow down at the presence of God. Have you ever faced any mountains? I've had quite a few of those in my life. Mountains. Mountains. Oh, that looks like a mountain. You ever faced that? Bring the presence of God there. There's something about bringing the presence of God in those big, big things that we don't know how to handle. Where to go next? Bringing the presence of God into that. There's something about that. All of a sudden, the mountains aren't as big anymore because they're faced with something bigger, the Almighty God. Living in His presence, that has a way of bringing those mountains down when we turn our eyes to our big gods. You know, if you know that God is with you, think about this. When you know that God is with you, you can face a lot of difficulty, a lot of hardships, a lot of hard things. I think about the Anabaptists, the early forefathers, who stood for their faith, who gave their life at the stake, burned with fire. Some suffered tremendous torture. How'd they do that? They were living in His presence. They knew their God. Do we know our God? I think about that, you know. We have fears that this whole thing that's going on right now could turn into World War III. And if it would do so, what if it would hit our country? What if the fighting was in our country? You know, things would turn around very quickly for us in a way that we have never experienced. Never. And I think about that. Oh, that we would live in His presence. We would know our God. It's not always that we feel like we're living in His presence. There are times when I have not felt where God is. Where is He? You ever felt like that? God, where are you? You don't feel Him. You don't feel His presence. May not be because you've done anything wrong even. You're not living in any known sin. But you don't feel His presence. Do you know how to get through that? It's by still taking the Word of God by faith. He's with us. He promised to be with us. If we have known sin in our life, that's something different. But He even gives us options for that. He gives us remedies for that. So just because we don't feel that we're living in His presence, if we're not hiding any sin in our life, let's reach out to Him by faith. Because He says that He's not very far away from any one of us. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The fourth point, there is full joy in living in His presence. I'd like to conclude with that point, that there is full joy in living in His presence. Psalm 16, verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Praise the Lord. "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Are you walking in a path of life? God says, "I will show you the path of life." "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." What a joy to know that God will show us that path of life. We don't really have anything to worry about. When he shows us the path of life and we begin to walk in that path, we have nothing to fear when we walk in his path. But there's a joy that comes. I think about Jesus' words in John 15. He was talking to his disciples about abiding in the vine. He says we should abide in him. That's what I'm talking about. Living in his presence is to abide in Christ. And then in verse 11, he's concluding this subject of abiding in him. And he says these words in verse 11. These things have I written unto you, or spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So this thing of living in his presence and abiding in him, synonymous things, he says, I'm speaking this to you so that your joy can be full. There's a fullness of joy when we live in the presence of God. When he's in us and we're in him, and that happens when we, how does that happen? When we get right with God, right? We settle up the things that are standing between us. When we get right with God, sometimes that getting right with God is getting right with each other. He becomes our righteousness when we repent of our sins and we receive his gift of salvation. And we find forgiveness through Jesus. There's a lot of people who are trying to find rest and comfort and hope in their soul through something other than a reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. There's a lot of people who are looking to do this and to do that. If I stay with this tradition, if I keep all of these things, then surely I'll be right with God. And they rest there. They hope there. But the Word of God is clear. We need to repent of our sin. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of our soul. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done that we merit any kind of salvation. But it's what Jesus Christ has done for us through giving his life on the cross for our sins. It's through that gift of salvation to us. Doesn't that give us a thrill and a joy in our hearts to know that our sins have been forgiven? There's an open heaven over our life. I just know that it's so exciting. So many times when you're on your knees with someone and you're praying together and they're laboring over their sin and their ungodliness and they desire to be free and just to have this clearness in their life, and they labor there, and after a while the burden is lifted, and what settles in? Full joy, rejoicing. And why is that? The Spirit of God just came to reside in their heart, and it was full joy. When we live in the presence of God here, and then we get over there, on the other side, where we see him face to face, I think there'll be a whole new dimension of this full joy. What a beautiful thing that will be. Are you living in his presence? No sin in your life. Do you have the Holy Spirit living within? Are we listening for that still small voice? Aligning ourselves to the Word of God. Are we stilling ourselves? Be still and know that I am God. Are we stilling ourselves so that we can hear the voice of God in our lives? Are you walking in victory over sin, those fleshly appetites? It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Are you filled with that fullness of joy? It comes by living in his presence. To live in his presence is to communicate with God, not just for 10 minutes or a half an hour, but that's our life. He's with us in the vehicle. He's with us when we go to work, when we're hammering those nails in, when we're punching buttons. God's with us, and we're living in his presence. We're communicating with him. We're conscious of him. We fear God. We let him speak to us through his word. Living in his presence is to meditate upon him, upon his goodness to us. Meditate upon his word. To live in his presence is to seek him about the big things and about the little things that affect us. And living in his presence, to live in his presence, there's something that it's going to take. Jonah kind of missed it. But it takes a heart that's surrendered. To live in God's presence takes a heart that's surrendered to him. A humble and contrite heart. That's where God dwells. That's where God dwells. I know that's all of our hearts. That's my heart. Do you know, we find that it's a journey. We need to be reminded to live in his presence. One day we will live in his presence. Looking forward to that day. Let's be filled with his fullness. He wants to pour out the joy in our lives. The world can see Jesus in us. I think God's people should be the most smiley people around. Why not? Right? Because of what he's done for us. They should just see the joy of God written all over us. When we're living in his presence, I think that happens. God bless all of you.